is about the presentation on phenotypic evaluation of drought resistance in advanced lines of common bean. This is the work that we have been doing for the past few years. We'd like to share the progress that we have been making. And this is done in close collaboration with Steve Beebe, our bean breeder, HCI, with the support from our research assistants, Homer, Cesar, Jose, and Ramiro. And you could see in that photo there, I mean, we started with a commercial check of a small red-seeded bean in Central America, and we are trying to improve the drought adaptation of that. And I'll be showing some of the data in terms of progress towards that. And the work was done at the International Center for Tropical Agriculture called SIAC, located at Cali, Colombia. Why common bean? Because it's an important food legume for more than 300 million people, mostly in the developing world in the tropics. And beans are grown on over 14 million hectares with an average grain yield of 810 kilos per hectare. And it has a reputation as poor man's meat because of its nature as an inexpensive food for poor consumers and also an important source of protein for Eastern Southern Africa and also Tropical America. And it's also an important source of calories and minerals, particularly to women and children. In terms of constraints for the production of beans, definitely diseases are number one constraint for bean production. And among the abiotic constraints, drought is a serious limitation for bean production. Over 60% of the bean producing area is affected by drought, and that is followed by phosphorus deficiency, nitrogen deficiency in Latin America as well as in Africa, and also aluminum toxicity in acid soil regions. Our research strategy for improving adaptation to drought is towards improving the efficiency of breeding program, and it has five components. The first component is conventional breeding together with farmer participatory plant breeding. And the second component is developing molecular markers towards marker-assisted breeding. And the third component is the physiological analysis so that we could develop simple selection criteria to improve the efficiency of the breeding program. And this presentation is dealing with that particular component. And the fourth component is in terms of isolating candidate genes for improved drought resistance. This we started only recently, about 3 years ago, and it is still an ongoing activity. And the fifth one is relatively less worked by us with our partners. We rely mostly on our partners with the national programs in Africa and Latin America. And this is integrating the improved stress-adapted beans into production systems, particularly like the maize bean rotation, to see the benefits of improved drought adaptation of this particular component in the system. In terms of mechanisms of drought adaptation in common bean, for the past 30 years, we have been working on it, and Jeff White, our physiologist that worked at SIAC for several years, now he is in Arizona with USDA, has made significant progress in identifying the mechanisms. And he had shown clearly that early maturity is an escape mechanism, but it has a yield penalty. So if we reduce one day in terms of maturity, it has a penalty of 74 kilograms per hectare. So we are now trying to break this barrier, and we have genotypes that have earliness together with higher yield now. And another mechanism he showed clearly was the deep rooting ability. And that is a known mechanism for a number of crops, so it's not unique to beans. And then the third one is phenotypic plasticity, mostly reducing the growth cycle with later planting. And more recently, for the past 4 or 5 years, we have been concentrating more in terms of looking at the impact of greater mobilization of photosynthetes under drought stress, looking at a number of shoot traits that are listed there, including total non-structural carbohydrate content in the seed as well as the shoot. I'll be talking about these traits a little bit later. So in terms of rationale and objective, I mean, developing drought-adapted beans is an important strategy to minimize crop failure and improve food security in bean-growing regions. And our previous research had shown that the key mechanisms are the deep-rooting ability together with that earliness and greater mobilization of photosynthetes to grain during drought. So the main objective of this work is to evaluate genotypic differences in physiological aspects of drought resistance among the advanced lines that have been developed by the breeding program for the past few years. Our experimental conditions and measurements, this data that I am reporting are from two field experiments conducted in a deep mollisol with about 130 millimeters of available water up to 1 meter soil depth, and we used two treatments, basically an irrigated control and a rain fed treatment, where we established the crop with two irrigations and then we withhold irrigation and subject to rain fed conditions. And we used a lattice design of 6x6 with relaps over two seasons, and the results reported are average of two seasons. And the measurements at mid-pod filling, we measured leaf area index, photosynthetic efficiency in terms of photochemical efficiency, and leaf chlorophyll, dry matter distribution, nutrient uptake, and total non-structural carbohydrates in the shoot as well as the seed at the time of harvest, and ash content in shoot and the seed. And at the time of harvest, we are also looking into yield components, pod harvest index, which is like pod biomass compared to the total biomass at mid-pod fill, and pod wall biomass proportion. We find this trait to be a very useful one for our selection, and total non-structural carbohydrates in shoot and seed, and then the N and P content in seed. This is an important trait also to look at. I'll show you some data. And then the grain filling index, which is measured as 100 seed weight of stress treatment over 100 seed weight of irrigated treatment multiplied by 100. These are the experimental conditions in terms of rainfall, pan evaporation and temperature for both seasons. So the rainfall in 2001 was like 123 millimeters during the crop growing season, and in 2002 it was like 84 millimeters. And the red bar there shows the period that we had the dry conditions there. Yeah. Okay, in terms of yield, you could see here on the x-axis you have irrigated grain yield, and on the y-axis rain-fed grain yield. You could see that there are two accessions of Fasciolus acutifolius there, the G numbers. These are the tapery bean accessions. Tapery bean is known to have greater drought adaptation than the Fasciolus vulgaris. Our approach is to raise the level of drought adaptation in Fasciolus vulgaris to reach to that tapery bean level. And tapery bean is commercially not a good grain color and all that, so it's not widely consumed. So what we are trying to do is, like in the breeding program, combine the disease and insect resistance together with this abiotic stress adaptation and together with some nutritional quality so that we will have the multiple benefits of that. So as you can see there, I mean, we started with the check here under rain-fed conditions around this yield, 800 kilos, and this is the improved level of drought adaptation that we have in advanced lines. And you could see that some of these lines, the advanced lines, are responsive to irrigation as well as adapted to drought conditions. And some of these materials actually have similar level of biomass, canopy biomass at mid-pod fill compared to the check, but higher yield, showing the importance of mobilization of photosynthetes to grain development. And we also measured the photosynthetic efficiency in terms of variable fluorescence to maximum fluorescence ratio. And you could see here this commercial check actually has more photosynthetic efficiency than this. This is because it's mobilizing nitrogen and, you know, it's moving the photosynthetes to the grain. Similarly, we measured the pod harvest index. You could see that there is a good correlation in terms of irrigated pod harvest index versus rain fed, and these acutifolius accessions having very high pod harvest index, so they are mobilizing, and we are trying to develop lines that go closer to that tapery bean level of mobilization. And this genotype here of Pintovia is of interest because it has very high pod harvest index but doesn't have very high rain fed yield, because it has moved photosynthetes up to the pod but not from the pod wall to the seed, as you can see in this slide. You see that here, the Pintovia here, you could see it has a greater proportion of pod wall biomass compared to the so-called better performing advanced lion, which has lower proportion of seed wall biomass. Pod wall biomass, sorry about that. And then we also measured the grain filling index. Here, as I explained, it's 100 seed weight of rain fed over 100 seed weight of irrigated multiplied by 100. You could see this Pinto Villa here showing lower grain filling index compared to this commercial check and the improved advanced line. We also measured the carbohydrate content, total non-structural carbohydrate, and this line here, advanced line, having an intermediate level of carbohydrate level content similar to the commercial check. So in terms of correlation of these traits in terms of yield, yeah, as you could see, this pod wall biomass proportion under rain-fed conditions showing good correlation. So it's a selection parameter that we are using to select for advanced lines with greater adaptation to drought. But there is also a negative correlation in terms of seed nitrogen content. This we do not want it because that would give lower amount of protein in the grain. So we would like to have an intermediate level of protein in the grain. So in conclusion, these field studies indicated that the two accessions of tapir bean and two advanced lines have outstanding adaptation to drought, and the superior performance of these genotypes was associated with greater mobilization of photosynthetes to developing grain. And we identified two traits, that pod wall biomass proportion and the pod harvest index, as useful indicators of drought resistance in common bean. And this work is supported by funding from the government of Germany. And more recently, we have funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to improve drought resistance in common bean together with other grain legumes in sub-Saharan Africa. That includes the pigeon peas, chickpeas, groundnuts, soybean, and cowpeas. And we'll be continuing this work in Africa, and our success so far has been with small seeded red and black beans, and we would like to extend this work to the large seeded Andean beans in sub-Saharan Africa. Thank you for your attention. It's moderate level of resistance. What we see now is moderate level of resistance, and Jeff White had shown that actually the yield is negatively correlated with seed size. So Andean beans are large seeded and they are lower yielding. So there is a challenge there. At what yield level? Yeah, but that 84 is banking on that 130 millimeters of profile available water. So, I mean, you need at least 200, 250 millimeters to get some acceptable yield. Yeah. The crop requires up to 400 millimeters, yeah, depending on the length of the growing season.
Then I have two questions and go to the next.